Good morning, CTK. My name is Sarah Green, Director of Outreach and Children's Ministry here, and it's a joy to be with you all this morning and be able to bring the Word of God. But as Aree said, we're diving into the series we kicked off last week called Identified. Last week, we talked about identifying Jesus as our healer, and today we're going to dive in more and talking about Jesus as prophet and teacher. And we're throughout the month of March, the next couple Sundays, and as well as through Holy Week, we're going to be looking at these different pieces of how we identify Jesus and what the Word says as far as who Jesus was. So don't want to miss it. If you missed last week, you can go online, you can listen up and catch that message. But it's going to be, got a lot of great speakers coming up sharing these next couple weeks. You don't want to miss out. But we're glad you're here this morning. Going in, just like Aree had talked about a moment ago, we are going to have a little packing party right afterwards. Last week, you got an index card, and this had to do with our message, and you wrote down things that you wanted people to see God's healing, whether that was in your own life, people around you, in the world, and we brought those up front. As a staff team, we prayed over those this week and lifted those up to God, but we know that Jesus, as our healer, truly is, he's gonna heal, right? Whether it's here on earth side or in heaven. But today you should have gotten an index card when you got in. I'm doing something a little different with this one today. But if you didn't get an index card, raise your hand and the ushers will bring you one. But at the end today, you can see all of these cute little bunny bags on the stage. So 9:30 did a really good job. So y'all be ready, 11 o'clock. Y'all gotta more than double what's up here right now. But we want you to write on your index card. I want you to think about it as I'm talking. You get to make notes or doodle. No, I'm just kidding. But use this card. We want you to think about someone that you want to invite to come to church on Easter Sunday, March 31st. It's been a couple weeks, just FYI. But it's like Easter's like Super Bowl at church, right? It's like Jesus rose from the dead. Like, without that, like, why are we here, right? So this is the message we want everybody to hear. So if you got friends that don't know the Lord or aren't churched, we want to bring them that day. We don't want them to be lost. And like we're going to be talking about today about Jesus as our teacher, we want them to be filled with these same teachings that we know, right, that are powerful for our lives. We want them to have a piece of that. We don't want to leave them out, right? So these bags we're going to be packing after service. We'll give you more instruction then. But think on that as I'm talking. You get to think on your person. Who do I want to invite Easter Sunday? Next week, we're going to pray over all of these bags that we put together today, and then we're going to send them out with you, one per family. You're going to take a bag next Sunday and go invite this person you put on your card. So think about that. Who do you want to invite? And then we'll pray over these bags next week and bring people back Easter Sunday, or whenever. Bring it back next week. But this is your preparation, all right? Got it? Anybody else need a card? Got them? All right, very cool. We're going to dive in today of Jesus as our teacher and prophet and what the Word has to say about that. So I want you to think in your own life, what has it looked like, the teachers that have made an impact in your life? You know, a lot of the times there's teachers that we have in school and, you know, we have them for a year and then they're kind of gone and they're maybe out of our lives. There may be other teachers that have made a big impact and they're people that we still keep up with where it's like, man, like that teacher was impactful because of this, right? And you could probably name what that was or why they've stuck with you all this time and it's like, that was an awesome teacher. Like, I loved this teacher that I had, right? Or maybe because of the dynamic way that they taught or the ways that they related with you or cared for you, the way that they mentored you over the years. These are what we see in a good teacher, right? And so today we're going to be talking about what do we see, why do we talk about Jesus as a teacher and who he was as a teacher and how we identify him as that. So some of these notes you're going to see on the screen. Others, you can just listen up. You should have got message notes, paper form, if you wanted when you came in. But note, too, always on the CTK mobile app, you can always take notes in the app as well and have that on your phone also. So you're allowed to pull out your phone for your apps. So feel free. But we're going to dive in. So as I was researching and learning my own and preparing these last few weeks, and I'm like, How do we define to you all what a prophet is? So according to the Gospel Project, you'll see this on the screen, what is the role of a prophet? Prophets served as spokespersons or mediators for God, communicating his will to his people, encouraging them in faithfulness, and calling them to repentance when they turn away. And so Jesus, we see as a prophet, but also, like, we see a lot of prophets throughout the Old Testament as well. We see Samuel, Elijah, many, many others, right? A lot of the books of the Old Testament have names of prophets, major prophets and minor prophets, not that one was more important than the other, but just these books that we go back and we see how God's word was spoken through them and recorded. So these are prophets. But Jesus wasn't just a prophet, was he? No, he was God's son. He was God here in human form walking with us, but he was God himself, not just a prophet. But he was a spokesperson for God as a teacher and in the ways that he came, and he was able to be a prophet unlike any others could, right? Because he was God himself. How did Jesus act as a prophet? Jesus fulfills the role of prophet in that he alone is the ultimate teacher who has the words of eternal life. We see that in John 6:68. Simon Peter says, "You have the words of eternal life." And Jesus doesn't just communicate God's will. He is the very word of God and God's ultimate revelation of himself. So that's the role of Jesus as a prophet and also how he acted as a prophet. So in the Bible, a prophet in the Bible is what people commonly think of when they hear the term prophecy. It also is a foretelling or predicting of future events through divine revelation or foretelling through though not the prophet's most common task, is another form of their primary role. So here's a little bit of who a prophet is, right? And we see Jesus as the prophet. So then thinking about teacher, the Gospel Project says, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus is mentioned to be a teacher 45 times. Can you imagine that? 45 times, just in four books of the Bible, says that Jesus is a teacher. And the Aramaic title of rabbi is used 14 times of Jesus, even though he was not formally trained as a rabbi. The people, however, recognize that Jesus was indeed a teacher sent from God. So really cool, right? So people identify him as a teacher. They called him teacher, or it mentions that Jesus taught 45 times in the Gospels, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So really cool. So as we see Jesus as a teacher, he had all sorts of different classroom settings, didn't he? He wasn't one that just taught from stage as a pastor, right, or a rabbi, a Jewish teacher. But he taught on mountainsides. Jesus taught in synagogues. Jesus taught in cities. He taught in the country. Jesus taught to young. He said, you know, the disciples were like, oh, no, the kids can't be here, right? No, what did Jesus say? He said, let them come. Let them be here in my presence. Let them hear my teachings. And Jesus taught to the older too, right? Jesus taught to masses. He taught to thousands of people at a time. But he also met, you know, the woman at the well one-on-one, and he taught her who she was like no one ever had before, right? So Jesus is this dynamic teacher that we see in all of these different settings, but no matter who his students were, no matter who the audience was that was listening to these teachings, he was able to relate to them, he was able to engage them, and we're going to dive in more today about what the scripture says about who Jesus was as a teacher and three of the ways that he taught. So one verse I want to look at, Matthew 13:54. This one's on the screen. It says, "And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" So Jesus is going from Capernaum, and he goes back to Nazareth, which was considered his hometown. This is where he was raised. Although he was born in Bethlehem, most of his childhood was spent back in Nazareth. And so he goes back to Nazareth. He's invited to speak in the synagogue there. And the people said what? They were astonished. They were astonished. They were amazed. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? So in his hometown, many of these people would have known Jesus as a child as well, right? And so they're like, he was a common guy. He was just the son of a carpenter, and here he was. How? And they were, you know, where did he get these words? They were astonished. They were amazed by his teachings. They were amazed at Jesus' wisdom, his teaching ability, and the miraculous powers. And the Greek verb for amazed is ekplesso. Kyle may be able to say this better in his seminary classes, but the Greek verb of amazed is ekplesso, which literally means to strike out of one's senses. Strike out of one's senses. The people were so amazed that it was as if they had been struck with a blow. They had been stunned. They were flabbergasted, all right? So this word of astonished, it's like, oh yeah, we can be amazed by things, right? Like, no, this is like amazed. This is what the word is that people, that the people were talking about there in Nazareth. They were flabbergasted. They were stunned by his teaching. Get that. Also in Matthew chapter 22, verse 33, it says, and the crowds heard it, and they were astonished at his teaching. You know, they saw Jesus as much wiser than their religious leaders. He was this wiser. It was this whole new form of teacher than they'd ever heard before. It wasn't their normal, what they're hearing in the synagogues on a daily basis or a weekly basis, right? They were amazed. They were stunned. Another verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. So this one's pretty funny. But if you want to open it up, you can kind of dive in this week and look a little bit further. You also have study notes on the back of your message notes there too. But in John chapter 7, the Pharisees, they're upset about all that Jesus is teaching. And you know, the Pharisees, they're up on their high horse all the time. And like, they know the way that the religious things should be done, right? And they just aren't having it with Jesus. So they're like, come on in here, like police, like get him out of here. So John 7:32 says, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him. And the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. So it's like, ooh, there he's growing popularity, right? And so the Pharisees are like, no, we got to bring the police, like, to go arrest him. So a couple verses later, officers came. They're there with Jesus. John 7, 45 and 46 say, the officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees who had said to them, why did you not bring him? And the officers answered, no one has ever spoke like this man. So the Pharisees brought in the police to go and arrest Jesus. And then what happens? Wow, they're just amazed at his teachings. They just wanted more, right? They became believers. They were sent to arrest Jesus, and yet their life was changed, and there they were, ready to be baptized probably, right? Like, life has changed because of the teachings of Jesus. And so we see this throughout the Gospels, of these accounts of how people's lives are changed, of how people just sit at his feet and they just want more. And Jesus has that for you too. So we're going to dive into a few ways of how Jesus taught. So number one, Jesus taught with authority. Jesus taught with authority. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a big, long sermon that Jesus gave on the hillside. And throughout chapters 5, 6, and 7, this is a Sermon on the Mount. And so most of it, if you have the Bible where it all has all the red words of where Jesus spoke, like it's red, except for like the very, very first two verses of chapter 5 and this very ending of chapter 7. But it says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And so here's these Jewish people gathered around him that are used to listening to teachings from the scribes, from the Jewish leaders, the Jewish teachers, but this was different. Jesus taught with authority. So remember, like it says here, the crowds were astonished at his teachings. They were astounded, astonished, amazed. This is a strong word, right? They're like knocked off their feet. Because it says Jesus completely amazed the crowds at his teachings. These Jewish teachers, the scribes, they often quoted from well-known rabbis in order to give their words more authority. But Jesus didn't have that need, did he? So if the modern day, that time of day scribe, you know, the Jewish teachers, they would have spoken after what other rabbis had taught, or from the Leviticus text of the laws that people were to follow. You know, you had the Ten Commandments, and then you had all these other 600 plus laws, and so it got a little dull, right? And it was just, you know, this guy said this, and so the next guy could say that too. But Jesus didn't have that need, did he? Because Jesus was the Son of God, he knew exactly what Scripture said and what it meant. He was the ultimate authority. He didn't need to quote anyone else because he was the original Word, right? John chapter 1 says he was the Word was with God and the Word was God, right? That's how that starts out. So Jesus was the Word. He didn't need to quote anyone else. He was the living Word, and he had all of the authority to be able to give to the people. So what if I told you that Jesus was going to be here next Sunday? Would you be here? Jesus is bringing the word next Sunday. Yeah? Would you be on the front row? Nobody's on the front row today for me to speak, but would y'all be up here? Yeah? Okay, good. You'd show up? You'd be here? Be ready to listen? Eager? You'd invite your friends? Well, let me tell you this. What if I told you Jesus is going to show up tomorrow in your closet? Are you going to be there? Because Jesus will. Jesus is going to show up to you right where you are. He's going to show up with you around your cup of coffee in the morning. He's going to show up with you there on your back porch as you just sit down in the morning and start your day. Jesus is going to be right there. I told Rob earlier, I was like, he's up next week. So anyway, Jesus may not be here in person. We know that. But Rob's got a great message he's bringing next week, and I want y'all in the front row. It's going to be amazing. But Jesus is going to show up right there for you in your closet. Jesus wants you to hear him teach, and he's going to be there. When you open your word, it comes to life. Jesus is right here. He's right here. Do you want it? Because that's your opportunity that you have every single day. Every single day to start it right there, face to face with Jesus in his presence. It's not just for those that lived 2,000 years ago, right? That got to sit on the mountainside and listen to him teach. Jesus is here and real and alive, and his authority is real for our life today as well. Show up there in your closet. He wants to be there present with you. So just as Jesus amazed the crowd listening that day to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will still amaze you with his teachings. And don't miss out on all that his teachings can be for you. Listen to them. You know, if you've ever read through the Bible before, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you started one of those Bible reading plans before, and January 1st, you're like, this year, I'm going to read through the Bible. You know how many times I've said that? It's been a lot. You know how many times I've gotten through it? Yeah, I can't raise my hand that many times, right? I've been there. I fail. And I get to, before the end of January, I'm like, I messed up. Like, it's not happening this year. I'll try again next year. Don't do it. Like, keep going. I had a friend of mine that I used to work with in Guatemala, and she had posted on social media, like, in February. And she was like, I started the Bible reading plan to read the whole Bible in a year last year. And I'm towards the end of the New Testament, like she's getting towards the end of the Bible, but she's like, I'm still going, like I have this, you know, this many more books to read, but I'm almost done. So I was so encouraged by that and her honesty that she'd been doing it. She hadn't done it perfectly, like she, you know, you miss a few days and you get behind, but it's worth doing, right? So whether it takes you 14 months or whether it takes you 9 years, do it. Open your Bible, get through it, because Jesus has teachings in here for you that you do not want to miss out on. It is real and it is good, and Jesus's authority is good for your life today. Amen? There's also, like, this other friend of mine did this, like, 90-day program, and you do, like, an hour a day, so you get through really, really quick. But anyway, if you can't do it in 90 days, know that, like, 9 years is okay. Like, just start today. Open it up. If this is sitting dusty on your nightstand, like, or in a box in the bottom of your closet, pull it out. Or the beauty of today, on your phone, you have like every translation that you want in any language that you want, so dive in. Today is your day. Got it? Jesus is gonna be in your closet in the morning, all right? He'll be there, don't miss it. Point number two, Jesus taught practically. Jesus taught practically, and so, sometimes we hear these messages, or maybe the church you've grown up in, it's just like things go in one ear out the other, like I don't know what to really take away from that today. But Jesus wasn't like that. You know, maybe the people of his day were, you know, they, like they said about the Jewish leaders, like sometimes it wasn't the same as the scribes of that day or the Jewish leaders. But Jesus taught practically. He told them things that made sense and they understood. It wasn't religious nonsense like we hear some teachings and sermons are. But he taught to common people. He grew up the son of a carpenter, right? He spoke as other common people. People could relate to him and understand him. He was that kind of teacher. It says in the Bible, if you have a conflict with someone, go to them, talk it out, right? It's practical. That comes from Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So anyway, if you have a conflict with someone, Jesus is saying, here's how you deal with it. Like, it's right here. It's in the Bible, right? The Bible also says, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough problems for today. Jesus was practical in his teachings. Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for today is its own trouble. Also in chapter 6, God feeds the birds and he takes care of the flowers. Don't you think he's going to take care of you? That's what Jesus told him. That's Jesus' words, right? Matthew 6, 26 to 28, it says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. We don't need to be worried about tomorrow, do we? We can easily worry or think, man, I'm like, you know, at the end of my paycheck, like, how do I pay my bills tomorrow? They're saying, no, God's got you, right? God's got you. He takes care of the lilies and how he clothes them and how he takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of you. If you look at in the book of Acts and we look at the first church, you know, it says that there was no need among them, right? If we're really living out Jesus' teachings, then our friends around us in our community, there shouldn't be any need, right? If we as the people of Christ are living that out, there doesn't need to be need among us. What else does the Bible say? It says you can't serve God and money. It also says stop being selfish, start being generous. You'll never be happy until you're generous, right? These are Jesus' teachings. This is what he taught. It also says, you know, haven't you read that God created them in his image, male and female, he created them? We weren't just made like by a big bang, boom, here you are. It's like, no, God said, here you are. Practically, you are made in my image, male and female, you were created. Jesus taught too, you know, what does it mean to be a wise man or a foolish man? What does that look like? If you build on a rock, your house stays firm, your foundation's firm. Or if you build on the sand, the winds come and the rains come and washes it away, right? Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's practical, right? Jesus brings these practical stories to your life and mine. If we want to learn how to have a successful marriage, it's right here in the Bible. If we want to learn how to be a good parent, it's right here in the Bible, right? If we want to learn how to pray, Jesus taught his disciples. It's right here in the Bible. Jesus teaches you and me today. There's things in here, the way that Jesus taught, it wasn't just for that day and age and things that aren't relevant to us anymore, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he told the people around him 2,000 years ago, it's still so good for us today. This is Jesus as a teacher. He was a teacher then. People called him out 45 times. Jesus is a teacher. We can see that today as well. Jesus is your teacher. He wants to meet you where you are, and he wants you to soak all this up. He wants you to be amazed and astonished and to knock off your feet, all right? He has a testimony to write in your life. You got to open it up, and you got to talk with him. You got to hear from him, because this is goodness, all righty? Number three, Jesus taught graphically. Jesus taught graphically. He painted these pictures, and he shared stories with them. He taught parables, or he gave illustrations. His hearers, those people that are gathered around him, they were engaged by him and what he had to teach. He was an engaging teacher. The illustrations, they were so full of meaning, but they also were so interesting to those that were listening. He used imagery that appealed to the imagination. So some of these things we might think, oh, like, I'm not a farmer, like, I don't really get this parable about sowing the seeds and where it all landed, you know. So some of these may have context that we, you know, he knew his audience, he knew what was relevant for that day and what they were able to understand. But I'm gonna give you a few examples and have you imagine a little bit some of these things that Jesus taught and put a little context in today's day and age. But Jesus didn't just give these dull, boring lectures where it was just coming through. I was a math major, and so some of the math classes that I had, you know, a lot of it's just like, what? You know, most of it's like you're able to grasp, but some things and some of the professors, it's like, it isn't quite sticking, right? And so maybe we've had those teachers before, but that wasn't Jesus. Jesus, he's painting these pictures, he's giving these illustrations, so it really sticks with them. They're really able to understand the point he's trying to get across, right? Sometimes it's like us learning hands-on. Sometimes that's the best way that we're able to learn. But Jesus' audience here, he was giving these lessons that were so applicable and that mattered and that they could imagine and they could see the picture painted and they took it away with them and they knew what Jesus was trying to say, right? So Jesus, you know, he took people to places. People would follow him, even to deserted places, right? We read about, you know, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Like, these people were so engaged with what Jesus had to say that they all went and, like, nobody planned and brought any food or, like, planned it near somewhere where they could get food. They're like, oh, wait, everyone's hungry and they're still just so engaged with Jesus, but what are we going to do? Like, everyone's hungry, but nobody thought about it. But yet, this little boy had his basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And Jesus multiplied it and fed them all. But we see it's crazy because people just gathered and were, like, so enthralled with Jesus and what he had to teach, they kind of just showed up and then didn't even think about their food. Crazy, right? Have you ever showed up for Jesus like that? Just, oh, wait, when did I last eat? No, but that was Jesus and the people that gathered around him because he was this amazing teacher, the best teacher ever. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment, if you trust me. I don't have a squirt gun. Think about, picture a camel. You have one hump or two, whatever you'd like, and put your one hand on him, on the side, feel his rough fur, and then in your other hand, hold your hand out, and here's a needle between your index finger and your thumb. And I want you to think about putting this camel that you're feeling with your one hand and sticking him through the eye of that needle. What word comes to mind? Impossible. Yeah, impossible. And that's what the people said, right? Jesus gave this illustration as he was talking. This rich young man had come to him and was asking him these questions, and Jesus had the opportunity to teach to him. And Jesus said, this is how you get into the kingdom of heaven. It's like putting a camel through the eye of a needle. It's like, whoa, 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 that's impossible. And Jesus said, yeah, so it is for a wealthy man to get into heaven. But is it impossible? Us in America, we have the majority of wealth. We're all wealthy, even if we, you know, live at the poverty level here, most of us, compared to the majority of the world. But do we get to be into heaven? Yeah. But we have to lay down and lay aside our things on our own doing. We can't get into heaven, can we? But when we lay those things aside and we know that if we believe in Jesus, that's what it's going to get us there, right? And that's what's possible. And that's what Jesus was teaching them. And he brought them these graphic illustrations to show, you know, here's impossibility, but with me, all things are possible. All right, I'll have you close your eyes again. Picture yourself walking into a forest. And you have your axe or your chainsaw, depending on how hard you want to work. But we're going to go and we're going to go down and cut down a tree. You got a tree cut down, it falls down. And now you're going to take your saw and cut off each of the branches. So you just have this big center log, huge log, like you see on the logging trucks. Now I want you to shove that into your eye. Now we're gonna walk down the street. Oh, you saw some friends, some other people. Oh, there's a speck in their eye. You're gonna call it out. Oh, there's something in your eye, sir. But what's in yours? A log, exactly. Kind of silly, right? Yeah. So Jesus gave them this graphic illustration so that they could think about that. how are we going to point something else in someone else's eye when it's just this tiny speck? I have a whole log in my own eye, right? This is how Jesus taught. He gave them these illustrations so that they could think, oh, I got you, Jesus. Now I understand, right? He's painting these pictures for us to understand and to bring clarity from his word. Now, a couple stories just to bring them into today's day and age. So imagine there was a man, he was going down Highway 77, ends up getting beaten and robbed and hurt, and he's laying on the side of the road here on Interstate 77 going towards downtown, right out by 277. And the Lutheran bishop is coming into town for a conference, train up all of these pastors, and he drives by, and the driver says, oh, look, you see that man? Oh, we got to go. Like, we're going to be running late if we stop here and try to do anything. So he keeps going. And then this worship pastor drives by from a church across town, and they're going to have this huge worship night experience for the whole city of Charlotte. And it's like, oh, I can't stop. Like, we got worship and Jesus to do. So he kept going too, onto what he needed to get done. And then single mom in her minivan coming from her second job sees this man on the side of the road, beat up, hurt, abandoned, stops, and pulls him in to get in the car, drives him to CMC Maine, checks him in there, admits him, and says, if there's any, you know, whatever the cost is, like, I got this. Just let me know, like, you know, so that all of his care is covered. These stories Jesus paints hits home, right? Who are we in that story? Are we too busy to stop and see our neighbor around us? Are we judgmental of who around us is the one that really lends in a needing hand? Who is a good Samaritan to us today? The Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't get along, and so Jesus painted this picture, but who is it that maybe you don't associate with because they're different from you? Or they live socially different class than you? Are we too busy to stop and see the need and the neighbor that Jesus puts in our own life? Jesus paints this picture then, but it's so relevant to us today, right? Think about, where is my pride? You know, what is standing in the way? What's keeping me from loving my neighbor or thinking about who that is? One other story for you. Like it is in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. So there was a man, businessman here in Charlotte, and he had two sons. And they were coming into adulthood and on their own almost. And the one asked his father, hey, I just want my inheritance right now for my Merrill Lynch fund and I'm getting out of here. And so takes all the money as if his father was dead. And he gets a private jet and he flies out to Las Vegas and rents a penthouse and enjoys all the money and fun out there for a while it lasts. And then realizes he's squandered everything and has nothing left. So there he is, all the way across the country, gets a job cleaning, figuring out what he can do to get by. He's looking at dumpsters and on the street trying to find food. He says, it hits him, man, like, if I even just worked as the lowest employee in my dad's company, like, it would be better off than this. And so he decides, this is awful. I gotta go back, and maybe my father would take me back just as an employee. And so he gets up enough money to get a Greyhound bus ticket, and he heads back east. And when he finally gets there, he gets off a few miles from his house because he just needs time to just walk and think it out, and just his apology to his father, because he feels so broken coming back that he just, what should he say? But as he's getting to the road that his father's house is on, before he's even down the block to his house, his father opens the door, flings it open, comes running down the street to embrace his son. And before he could say any apology or anything, the son embraces him. The father embraces his son. And he says, "You're forgiven. Welcome home. You are my son. You are loved." He had a new car for him in the garage. He'd done up his room, and he welcomes him in and throws him a party. The older brother, who'd never left, sees his younger brother return and thinks, "I'm still driving around the old Camry that I got when, you know, when I turned 16, and this is what you're doing for him? What is this? Like, I've stayed here, I've been obedient the whole time." But no matter how we identify with either the sons in the story, whether we felt the shame and we've run, or we feel like we can't approach God because I've messed up too much, or whether we're like the older son and we just have all this pride and this ignorance that's built up in our life, and we see other people and think, "They don't deserve Jesus. Look what they did." Wherever you feel like you're at today, know that the Father loves you, that Jesus' teachings are real for you, that his grace and his mercy is enough for you, and he welcomes you home and into his loving arms. Amen? Jesus' teachings are relevant to us today. They are still filled with such authority. They're filled with just such practicality that if we want to know what to do about this or what to do about that, it's right here. Jesus gives us his teachings to live by every day. It's graphic, it's illustrated. Jesus wants us to know it and get it. Jesus is relatable. He's not just some scholar or somebody up on his high horse. Jesus came to the people, he comes to us. He wants us to get it. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to be astonished and amazed, and he wants to knock us off our feet because his teachings are that good, and his love for us is that good, right? So we can walk into his teachings. Maybe our apology is there, ready just to come off our lips, but Jesus says, "I'm here. My arms are open wide to you. I see what you did, but I forgive you. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. Come home," right? Jesus wants to meet you today. I want you to have some time to pray right now. No matter how this message is hitting you or where you feel like you are as far as one son or the other in the prodigal son story, think about that right now. And what Jesus has for you. And how you want his teachings to come alive for you in your heart today. There's going to be prayer partners available at the end of the service back here by the prayer banner. Whether you have things on your heart that you want to share and just have prayer over, or whether you have prayer praises that you just want to have lifted up, we invite you to come and pray. If you'd like communion, we'll have communion assistance at the back as well by the communion banner. We invite you to partake in that. But right now, let's just pray. Pray that God's teachings would just sink in. And then I have a few instructions for our Easter bags as we go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you came and you taught in a way that no one else ever had and no one else ever will. But God, we thank you for your teachings. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, you approached us, you taught us where we are. You taught us so that we could understand. You are so good. You are the most amazing teacher. And you are the Son of God. And we thank you, Father. May we would just desire you more and more, just to be filled with your teachings, to show up present to you, our shame and our pride aside, ready just to have more and more of you. Teach us, Father. We open our hearts and our lives to you today. In Jesus' name.